This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. Quote, it's not just what you know, but how you practice what you know that determines how well the learning serves you later. End quote. That comes from a book called Make It Stick, The Science of Successful Learning by Peter C. Brown, Henry L. Rodiger, and Mark A. McDaniel. Really neat book, backed by science, different ways in which we can learn things more effectively. Now, today what I want to talk about is two different types of practicing learning methods, one of which you might be familiar with, I know I was, and that is not as effective as traditional learning styles teach us. And the other one, which has been backed by science and proven to increase memory, learning, and just long-term overall sort of, you know, ways in which you can recall things that you learn rather than just like cramming and forgetting them. So it's called interleaving, right? There's one style called interleaving. The other style is called massed practice. And the interleaving style is when you switch it up, you randomize the way you learn. We'll talk about that. And the other style is just kind of cram, like we did in school, where you just kind of sit down in one fell swoop and just study everything, reread all your materials, write down notes and all that stuff, and then take the exam tomorrow. Right? We'll talk about the difference between those two and why the one I just mentioned, the cramming massed method, is totally ineffective if you want to really succeed over the long run in terms of the stuff that you learn. So they, in the book, give an example about these baseball players. I'm just going to read it straight from the book for you real quick. So when the baseball players, quote, at Cal Poly, practiced curveball after curveball over 15 pitches, it became easier for them to remember the perceptions and responses they needed for that type of pitch. The look of the ball's spin, how the ball changed direction, how fast its direction changed, and how long to wait for it to curve. Performance improved, but the growing ease of recalling those perceptions and responses led to little durable learning. In other words, it's one skill to hit a curveball when you know a curveball will be thrown. It's a different skill to hit a curveball when you don't know it's coming. End quote. So what they're explaining here is that if the baseball players want to optimize their skills, right, in this example, and become better athletes, they've got to spend less of their time practicing hitting curveballs when they know they're coming, right? And spend most of their time practicing hitting curveballs when they don't know they're coming. Unfortunately, however, most baseball players, a lot of athletes, they do the reverse. They spend countless back-to-back-to-back hours of hitting curveball after curveball with no surprises thrown into the mix to switch it up and keep them on their toes. And this way of practicing, of doing the same thing over and over and over again, that's a form, again, of massed practice, right? Which builds performance gains on short-term memory rather than long-term memory, okay? Eventually, the authors of the book, the researchers and authors, split up these baseball players. They were from Cal Poly, they're batters, right, into two groups. Group one, the massed practice group, what they call them, hit curveball after curveball again. And group two was what they called the interleaved practice group. And they were thrown random pitches. Now, which group do you think became better batters overall, right? Now, the answer, obviously, is going to be group number two, because those are the ones who started practicing with random pitches, aka interleaved practice, which was more challenging, and it slowed their performance gains down significantly, right? But also came along with the following upside. When they finally started building up their skills, got good enough to hit randomly pitched balls effectively, curveballs, straight fastballs, etc., they retained those skills over the long run, making them better batters as a result. Even though the first group who hit curveball after curveball, the masked practice group doing the same thing over and over and over again, looked like they were getting better, right? Their gains didn't last because they were only based on short-term memory. So in other words, they got really good at hitting curveball after curveball when they did that masked practice. They just did the same thing over and over and over again. They knew the curveball was coming. They hit the curveball and they kept on doing that, you know, 100 times, 500 times, whatever. So when they measured how good they got at hitting curveballs after just doing the same thing over and over and over again, yeah, their performance got better. Their skill got better. But it didn't really matter because they forgot it shortly thereafter, right? So it didn't stick with them for long enough for them to actually get good at using it during game time, right? When it really matters. So the other group, though, again, the ones who hit randomized pitches, they didn't know whether it was going to be a curveball that they were going to get thrown or whether it was going to be a fastball that they were going to get thrown. They had no clue what was coming. And so they had to be sharp, right? They had to stay on their toes to be like, okay, I'm really going to have to use my snap judgment skills here. I'm going to have to really make the right call on how to hit this ball in the blink of an eye, blink of a moment, millisecond. And that's what made them better. More effortful. Sure, it's a lot more difficult. It took them a lot longer to get better, but they got better and it stuck with them for the long run. And they were able to use it during game time. That's the difference between masked practice versus interleaved randomized practice. Masked practice, doing the same thing over and over and over again, feels good, leaves us with a perceived level of mastery. Interleaved practice, that's when you mix things up. Randomizing or learning practice puts us on a path to true and lasting mastery. Okay, great example of interleaved practice in the real world might be like randomly shuffling your flashcards every time you quiz yourself in preparation for an exam, or, you know, like a work-related presentation where you're trying to remember a bunch of terms. Doing that switches things up for you. It prevents you from memorizing the order of the answers, right? Because that's what we tend to do. Say, imagine like taking your flashcards, putting them in the same exact order and going over them one by one by one, over and over and over again. That's that. Your brain isn't challenged that way. And your brain's always going to look for the easiest way to do stuff. It's always going to do that no matter what. And so if you can challenge your brain to put forth more of an effort, then it's gonna be like, okay, all right. Looks like you know, Dean's asking me to really kick into high gear here, and whatever it is that we're doing right now really is supposed to matter. So I better really kind of stand up on my toes and you know, work hard to make sure that I keep this front of mind, as they say. So doing that. So for instance, if you're randomly shuffling your flashcards every time you quiz yourself as you prep for something, it switches things up, prevents you from memorizing the order of the answers since your brain won't know which question or flashcard is going to pop up next. So bottom line is this: when you're learning something new, right, or trying to build up your skills at something, whether that something is sports related, school related, work related, or anything else, be sure to make it a little bit more difficult than you're used to by switching things up, by randomizing your practice in order to get the best long-term learning results. Again, you know, if you're cramming for an exam, then masked practice might be effective, right? Because if you're going to be taking that exam the next day, for instance, then you'll remember whatever it is if you did that masked practice learning method. Like, I think we've all been there, right? You spend all night in your dorm room or at the library or whatever, trying to memorize these questions for the exam or whatever, or trying to like read the textbook, or trying to just go over all this stuff. You got these cans of Red Bull on your desk, you know what I mean? And you're just trying to do all this stuff all at once. you might be able to retain it, but you'll forget it like right after you take the exam. So you probably know what that feels like. I know I do when I was in college. So, you know, but that's not, unless you're studying something that you don't really give a damn about, right? If you're studying, if you're in a class about the history of drywall and you don't really care about that, and you wanna ace the exam the next day and it's the following day, then master practice might be a good thing for you. You know, do that all nighter and then just crush it out. Remember whatever it is that you need to remember for the exam and take the exam and then roll out. But if whatever it is that you're learning about actually matters to you, if you care about it, then master practice is totally ineffective. It's not going to help you one bit. You know, you got to switch it up. You got to randomize your practice. You got to quiz yourself. You have to sort of challenge yourself, because the more you put, more effort you put forth towards learning something, the better your chances of keeping that thing you learn, that concept, idea, whatever you learned, over the long run, producing a sense of mastery within you, right? Contributing to mastery, which is what really makes us happy and more fulfilled in our lives. Yo, it's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.